Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
Are listening to the urban sports scene. I am Wole, and I'm joined by my co-host Will T, and we are part of Empire Media. That's AmpireMedia.com. The homie Ray Jeezy is out, but Will T, what's good, my man?
Nothing much, man. Everything's copacetic. You know, this is what historically has been kind of like the dry period of sports. You know,
it's true.
MLB All-Star Game was yesterday.
Yeah,
I think tonight's the night that ESPN runs the ESPYs.
Is it?
I haven't watched
the ESPYs in years. Is that a bad thing? I don't know.
I mean,
has the ESPYs been like that?
I can't say that I watch.
Okay.
But we're saved. We have WNBA basketball, which has been pretty good.
Okay.
And yeah, we also have NBA Summer League.
Yeah. NBA Summer League has been great. I mean, yeah. WNBA has been good too. The Vegas is killing it, bro.
You know, you got a lot of first year, you got a lot of rookies, and then you also have second year players who are stepping up and playing. Just the other night, we had, I don't want to call it an epic battle, but we had a good battle between Houston and Detroit, where you had Jabari Smith Jr. and you also
had Summer League.
Yeah.
Man, it was epic. We'll talk about that during the show. That's one. Jabari been dope, dog. Jabari has been.
Hopefully that leads to him taking that step that everyone thought that he would take, right? Because a lot of people before last year's draft thought that he would have the success that Paolo Banchero would have, and he would have been the first pick overall.
I would say there was a hindrance. We can talk about this. There was a hindrance with that because the dude there already established himself in Jalen Green. If you watch that, he's a volume shooter, and it's hard. You know what I mean? When you got a young team and you're a guy with so much ability, like massive talent, like, you know, if you look at Jabari Smith's game, he's not one-dimensional. He's really not a one-dimensional scorer. You know what I mean?
No, he's not.
And he's not a guy that's going to force a lot of plays. He's not going to force everything. So, but in terms of – sometimes I always say, like, sometimes it depends where you get drafted. And, like I use Kevin Durant as an example. Like, when KD went to Seattle, there was nothing. There was, like, nothing in Seattle when he got drafted to Seattle. Compared to, like, say, when going to Portland, he didn't go to Portland, but there was already Brandon Roy, right? Odom had Brandon Roy. But here, in Seattle, so KD shot everything in Seattle. And his shooting percentage his first year wasn't great, but he got to get the shots up, right?
Right.
You went, like, in Smith's situation, you already had old boy already dropping, like, 20. Like, he wasn't.
Yeah, and then you also had Kevin Porter.
Then you got Kevin, that too.
Running point.
That too. So and when you're a big, in real talk, if you're a ball dominant guard and point guard and two guard, and you were big, or you was three or four, you're not going to really get to run the offense like that anyway. You know what I'm saying? You're in the mercy of them, to be real with you. So, but anyway, man, we'll get into that summer league talk. You know what I'm saying? We'll get into that summer league talk. But let's get to some of the particulars. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Do not forget to subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel. Hit the red subscribe button and like a bunch of videos. This show can be found on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options in the local news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content. Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasts, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition of pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington Wizards Summer League action at 8:28. We'll talk about the rest of the NBA Summer League. Then finally, in our segment HBCU Corner, we'll have a pre-taped interview with the reigning reigning MEAC Women's Basketball Player of the Year, Howard University guard Destiny Howell. But first, the Wizards, they're 1-2 during Summer League. Your thoughts on the play of the Wizards' first-round pick, Bilal Coulibaly?
Bilal Coulibaly. You see the physical talent there, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. I think he's like 6'7", with like a 7'2 wingspan. Athletic, run the floor well. But then you see, I'll just be frank, some limitations from a skill perspective, right? Here, you know, if you take a guy number 7 overall, considering the lack of talent on that Wizards roster, you would hope that they would draft someone that could immediately
help the team, right?
Help the team. And look, it's Summer League. He's made some good defensive plays. He's knocked down a couple of open threes. Uh-huh. His ball handling looks kind of sketchy.
I actually think it's not as bad.
I don't think it's bad.
I'll say this. Look at the tape for you. If I were you, look at his tape at 18. Because you know, at 17, 18, and look at it was last year, and you see the progression, and then even look at this year, there's progression, like in his handle. But in the end, what you're asking, like I know what you're saying, like being an elite, yeah, it needs work.
Yes.
It needs work. Yeah. You know what I mean?
A lot of people projected him to be a Giannis Antetokounmpo
type. They got to stop doing that.
Of player, and I think that's dangerous, that's, right?
Don't do that. He's not even like Giannis, to be honest with you. They're totally different.
They are.
They're totally different.
At that stage of their development.
Yes, even in that stage, yeah, I agree.
Because that could be dangerous and pile on all types of expectations for him for this team this year, especially because, you know, outside of Poole, outside of Kuzma, you look at that roster and you say, okay, what's going to keep me excited or engaged?
I like Tyus Young too.
Yeah.
I like
Daniel Gafford too, especially with that salary and as you get closer to the trade deadline.
Oh, yeah, he'll definitely be trade. Yeah, he'd be trade quality. A good team would definitely like Daniel Gafford.
But, you know, you look at him and you say, okay, this is the future. Uh-huh. You say Giannis, you say, okay, show me something.
Yeah.
But two totally different physical makeups.
That's the thing. They're physically different. Even Giannis coming into the league was skinny, but he was different. He was wiry. He was skinny, but you could.
He was
different.
Wiry. He had, you saw his shoulders,
it's
right? He still had broad shoulders, and
different.
You said, okay.
And in argument that Giannis, folks didn't even know it's wild because they're different in this aspect of Giannis was. Giannis was about 6'11", as a rookie. He wasn't like he. He didn't grow extra. Like, he was still about 6'11".
Yeah, but, I mean, he grew a couple of inches, but I think, after his second or third year.
Mm-hmm. I don't see it. I don't even give Coulibaly credit. His jumper looks better than Giannis now than Giannis did when he comes in terms of an actual-looking jump shot, like how it looks, in terms of his
you
technique.
You mean the form.
The mechanics of a J is better looking than Giannis. That's one. Secondly, I think Coulibaly do you think Giannis' pad is good? I think he's a bully.
No,
like that's about the game is different. I don't even know how to. So for me, all right. So I'll tell you what I think about dude. All right, my comparison, dude, is not even Giannis. It's more Andrew Wiggins. If I'd be totally honest with you, that's more of a comparison to me. It's Andrew Wiggins. It's not even close to being Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, like, what I like about him is, like, I do think he can. I see potential him being a really good player. Like, I really do. I see potential. I think his handle needs work. I agree with you. I think it's getting better, but that's something that within time, he's going to have to understand how to get to his spots. I think he can use his handle for what it is, right, what it is now, but you got to get to your spots, and you got to be confident in your spots. So to me, this is what he has to work on thoroughly. If he wants to be a really good NBA player off the rip, right, work on a midi. He needs a midi. His J is a set shot, so his three is only on a catch-and-shoot basis. Mm-hmm. It's slow. It's not fast. So he's gotta have the work. He's got long arms and length. So he can work on a midi and rise. He got bounce. What I think that's good. His bonus for me is his defense, and he does have a dog mentality. Like, he's not scared. Sometimes you see guys coming from overseas, they're scared. What I like about what I see in the summer league is that he's not scared. I think against his second game against the Celtics, he had a clutch bucket to pretty much ice the game. Baseline step back jumper on the baseline. For the Wizards to go up, I think they went up five. They went up four after the shot to ice the game. So I think that he has ability. I think he does have a lot of ability. To your point, though, I'm not sure if he's ready to, you know, make a big impact. But I will make this argument. I do think he's better than Denny Avdija. If you want to be honest with you, I think he's better than Denny Avdija. I feel like he will compete against some of the better threes and fours in the league. Like the same way I like Jaylen Brown. Mm-hmm. Like I think Jaylen Brown ain't scared of nobody. I don't think that this kid scared of anybody.
Okay, well, that's a good comparison. I know people probably aren't going to like this, but his game reminds me at this point of a taller Frank Ntilikina, who was drafted by the Knicks. Yeah.
That's not a I can see that. I see why he can do that. But long arms, good defender.
Long arms, good defender.
No, I can see why you would say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I can see why. That's not bad. Wizard fans would hate that.
Crap. Yeah, I mean, if he ends up being if that's his NBA ceiling,
yeah, that's then stuff.
It's terrible. But if you're asking me to compare to his game, fresh.
No, I got you.
Out of fresh off the draft, that's. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of that, essentially. So he has a way to go with as far as offensive development. But, you know, we in Washington, luckily for him.
They got patience, man.
We're going to be, I think Wizards fans are going to be patient with him. And, if they see that his ability to defend and his ability and his athleticism is off the charts, I think fans in general of this team will be excited for the future.
They'll deal with their thing. What else they got to wait for?
Johnny Davis. That's what they got to wait for.
Well, let's talk about him too, man. Because I do like some things about what he brought into the summer league. So, matter of fact, let's get right. All right. So, for you, I'm not going to just talk about Johnny Davis, but for you, which player has impressed you for the Wizards in the summer league?
For the Wizards?
Yeah. I'll tell you mine now.
I'll just be honest with you. I haven't seen
enough of it.
Okay.
So I watched it. I came back. I went to Atlanta. I just came back from Atlanta over the weekend, right?
Oh, how was it?
It was cool. I ain't going to a real part of Atlanta, dude. I was in like some Swanee. It wasn't even Atlanta for. I was going to see it was for an 80th birthday party for family. I'm gonna say
No Magic City,
huh? Nah, man. You know,
it's not the same without me there.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, yeah, dog. here we go again. Yeah. I don't know when y'all went. I know we went there. It was dead. Y'all come back in the room. Y'all like, hey, Wally, man, that thing was like that. That had about all these raw. I'm not going in detail here. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, yo, it was. I was like, bruh. We went in that thing. That thing was dead quiet. When I went in that
dude told me
it'd be popping on Mondays and Tuesdays. So I was like, damn, because the rappers be there. Like, damn, my money ain't rapping money. My money no good.
I mean,
go ahead, Will. Go ahead.
We went when me and a friend of the show went. We had a ball when it was just us two there, and there was no one else.
Now
there.
That's the story you say, and you just I get it.
You've asked me this a number of times, and I've stayed consistent.
You're consistent. I'm not going to even doubt you because you are consistent. Every time I say it, like you be like, this is just what it is. But like for me, I guess back to the subject matter, it would be the kid Baldwin. Now, the guy out of the trade out of Golden State, he can shoot, man. Like, and he's tall. He's about six. Let's see, six. I think he's 6'8", but he looks 6'8", 6'9". He looks taller than that, though.
It's Ralph Baldwin.
I believe. I think Ralph Baldwin Jr. I'm looking up to make sure I mess his name up. I think it's Ralph Baldwin Jr. I just call him Baldwin because I don't be really. Him.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. But he can shoot though. Like the game against Patrick Baldwin Jr. He can shoot. The game against the Celtics, the confidence, he walking the threes, dude, off the drill. I think the Wizards would definitely, I think if he plays, he can be utilized well. You know what I mean?
But that's the thing, though. Yeah, will they allow him to play and will they, allow him to get the reps necessarily
to
be good? Because I think we both know if some of these young players are playing 30 minutes, upwards of 30 minutes, then that means that essentially this team is for a draft pick.
That's good. That's what's supposed to be like. But unfortunately, they decided to be stupid and try to, like, sign people. Like, I would play to people like Baldwin. These dudes in some league, they would be playing for me. Like, I wouldn't even be worried about, like, Kuzma being, that's a whole different, I'm not getting into that. But I'm saying, like, to me, I'd be playing these young dudes. And like you said, trying to put yourself in position to get a good, like, draft pick. But it is what it is. But I like him. I think Johnny, I'm going to give Johnny Davis some credit.
What's the, Vucevic?
Oh, yeah. Vucevic.
Yeah, that's the guy.
He looked good, too.
Yeah,
he looked good. I liked him. I like him because, again, I'm like, to me, I give a lot of overseas players credit when they come into the league and they're not scared of the smoke. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you come overseas and you like, I'm just as good as you, I ain't scared of you, I'm going to try to bang on you, I'm going to try to block your shot, I'm cool with that. Like, I feel like you're showing toughness. You're not backing down. And he kind of fits that role. Like, he can shoot. He's got a wiry body. Like, he likes to block shots and everything. So, no, I like him. I don't know how much he's going to play, though. I think he's a dude that is a
project.
Not a project, because I do think he's got skill, right? But I do think he's a G leaguer. Like, what I mean by that is I don't think he gets burned. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why have him sit there where he can just get burned in the G League and just play for the G League?
That's
squad.
True.
That's all. I don't trust the Wizards to play him and give him, like we talked earlier, substantial minutes.
See, this is the thing. I'm interested to see kind of from a organizational standpoint, how do they either emphasize development or who do they bring in
on
Wes Unseld Jr.'s coaching staff to really prioritize development with those younger players and guys that's on the back of the bench that you see that could potentially be a contributor to this team a year or two from now.
No, I'm with you. All right, so on Twitter, in terms of some of the players that stood out to a lot of people, a man, Cameron, said, for me, it's Patrick Baldwin. Hopefully he gets some playing time with the Wizards this upcoming season. So I'm saying I'm not sure about that. My man, King of DC Sports, said, at DC Sports King, says, most impressed by Tristan Vucevic, who Will was referring to, and then Johnny Davis and Ryan Rollins. Patrick Baldwin is doing what I suspected he would do with Golden State, being an efficient shooter. Then most of the players that we mentioned. I'll talk about Johnny Davis because we talked about, like, Johnny Davis. He was drafted last year. Didn't get a lot of burn to the end of last season. A lot of that was due to
That's an understatement.
Yeah,
Didn't play most of the season.
But he did play the last, I want to say last 5 to 10 games. There's ability there. I won't even deny it. There's ability there. When I watch him play, I see timidness, though. That's the problem. When I watched him last season, what I like about Summer League, I felt like he was less timid. He was going to the basket. Still think for him, like I talked about Bilal, he got to work on this midi. Because it's all about, if you're a scorer and you're not Steph, like, a lot of people want to be Steph and want to be three-point shooters. I think a good person to be, if you're a slashing-type dude, your three-ball is good, but it's more of a set type of three. You're not like that. You're not like Steph off the dribble. You know what I mean? Like, a good role model to look at for a player like that is look like DeMar DeRozan. Like, get to your spot and rise. Like, when you have that ability, get to your spot and rise. I think Johnny Davis would do him some justice if he looked and watched tape on DeMar DeRozan and just get to a spot and rise, because he can get to a spot. Get to a plan, rise, and shoot the shot. Don't force yourself to the basket when it's not there. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people like to just barrel their head and just throw the ball up, right? I saw that a lot in Summer League when I was watching him play. I do like the aggressiveness, don't get me wrong, and I think that's a good thing, but mix it up and get to a spot. Because in the NBA, people are they're taking away things from you. You know what I'm saying? And their bigger bodies waiting for you to block your shot. You're playing in Summer League, dudes. When you get to the league, when you're playing league, the regular season ball, them joints they won't even go up.
Yeah, think about probably the guy who a lot of us believe is one of the most scores the easiest, Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
Kevin Durant's mid range game is
there.
Insane.
You go, bro. There you go.
And look at his other teammate. Look at Devin Booker.
Mid range, midi. It's crazy. You
Devin Booker off a pick and roll, he'll get to his spot at the elbow, and he'll rise up in and take a jump shot.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like even when he does play smart basketball, Jason Tatum the same way, got that midi. Like when you're not, you don't always have to shoot three ball. If you're not one of them, like you know who them are. You ain't one of them, like Dame, Steph. You know what I mean? Like you ain't one of them. Sometimes you just gotta take what the defense gives you, and I do think Johnny Davis, if he can get a midi, like I'm not even saying it to a level of a DeMar DeRozan or to a level of Kevin Durant, I'm just saying it to a level of being or Kawhi Leonard. That's a midi killer right there too. I just keep it a buck. I mean, a lower tier, Rui got a hell of a midi. You know what I'm saying? Like if you put yourself on if he got that type of midi, dude, then now the Wizards are talking about something. They're talking about something with him. You know what I mean? But right now, when I look at him, like the way he's playing, yeah, he's better. But what is that? Does that make him a starter? No.
No.
He's not starting. Make him a six man? Maybe. Maybe. You know what I'm saying? But you have to be a fit. Well, probably you could be on this team. You probably could be six man.
Let's think about it.
I mean, I'm going to tell you, Tyus is starting.
Tyus and Jordan Poole.
Starters.
Daniel Gafford. Kuzma.
Kuzma, yeah.
And probably Denny.
Yeah, Denny's probably starting.
And Denny.
All right, let me say this, though. Be nice. Again, I guess I'm like the only one who's not super high on Denny. Like, I'm not. I'll give Johnny Davis better than Denny. I'm sorry. Like, Denny is just taller. Like, that's all it is. Denny just taller.
Denny has shown a capability and a desire to compete.
At times. No, you know what? I take that back. He will compete.
He competes.
He does compete.
On the offensive and defensive end.
On defense. I'll give you the defense. I will say offense at times. I feel like
he could be certain people. He could be timid. He could be timid.
But defense, he competes. But he competes on the defense. I ain't gonna lie. He ain't no bitch on defense. I'm gonna keep that a buck. He ain't no bitch on defense. That I will give you. Like they will compete on defense. Offense, I'd be like, bro, I need you to just be a little tougher. I ain't gonna hold you. Just be a little tougher for me, bro. Like you act like a little punk right now. Be a little tougher. All right. So for you, we talked about a little bit. Just getting detail. Other than Bilal. In your opinion, I know we ain't sure about who, but which player can you see making an impact in a regular season, like getting actual burn for the Wizards? I'm not going to say impact like scoring, like surprise, shocking folks, but we'll get burn. Who do you think, like from this nucleus or group, who do you think can get some burn?
Other than Bilal,
how much burn Bilal. I mean,
you look at Patrick Baldwin Jr., physical dimension, and then his game, and then he spent a year at Golden State, which we know is a team that's very big on development of players. So and with the expectations for this team being zero to,
nothing,
I would think that he would be a guy that would probably be, that could possibly be in a top seven or top eight.
That's a good one. Rotation. I'm going to go, I was talking about him. I do like what he did, but it's the dude that you did. I think the obvious answer is Johnny Davis. I'm gonna be honest, because you put something into him, being a first round pick from the year before, but it wasn't this old regime too. So that's a whole different argument. That's a whole another argument. But I'm gonna say the dude that you mentioned, Vucevic. I think he has a potential if he does get burned. I can see Daniel Gafford getting traded because I think he's not part of the long term future of this team. A big because from the Serbia route.
Yeah.
Everybody's it's a copycat league, right? Let's keep it a buck. It's a copycat league. And you got a guy who's a big who can shoot, wiry body. A big who can shoot is always it's a winning situation, bro. Like in today's NBA. You know what I'm saying? So I do think I'm gonna go that route. I like that. I like that thought process of having him being a guy that can help this team. I don't know how many shots he's going to get when you got Jordan Poole and Kuz on the team.
I don't know. Is it just me or is the pictures that I've seen of Jordan Poole?
No, you saw it right.
He looks like his soul isn't there.
Oh, no, he looked
he may not be the happiest to be here.
Oh, no, see, I think he is happy. I think he's just trying to look like he's trying to unlight-skin himself.
He's just trying to be hard?
Yeah, I'm serious. I'm being real. I think he's trying to. I mean, from what happened, I just think he's trying to have a different image.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You saw the joint that Dame said about him.
What?
It resurfaced. I got to show the video, but Dame said Like, so I guess it was in the past. I don't think it was current, but it was relevant. He was like, he played. It was a game he played Golden State, mm-hmm. and Dame, Jordan Poole made a shot, or Dame missed a shot or whatever, and then Jordan Poole started talking trash to Dame, like, you know, I'm here, you blah blah blah, this, that, and the other. So Dame go off and score, like you said, yeah, you look at it, I scored 30 after that, or 40 after that. 40, I think he said 40. I think he said 40. He scored like 40. And then dude kept chirping. And then he said that, then it was another, then they played him again, and he hit, Jordan Poole was on the bench, and he was chirping. So he said, Dame ain't on that shit. He was like, he ain't on that shit. They ain't go for 60 in that game when they win. It's important, go for 60. Then he turned to Draymond, man, I don't fuck with this dude. I don't know what you said he went to, but I don't fuck with this dude. I don't fuck with him. And mm-hmm. then everybody playing, and now that thing viral. Even one of my favorite, I don't care, I'll talk about another podcast. One of my favorite podcasts, Cam'ron and Mace, they got the joint, they frying this joint.
Yeah, I think those they going to be in a very interesting space.
Because, I know they are.
No, I mean, because they don't necessarily need nor desire journalistic credibility.
They don't.
And they're two guys who are funny,
yeah,
correct, charismatic. They have a following, and they could just talk about sports freely.
Yeah, I like because they themselves.
Yeah.
They say anything. There's no filter. Yeah. There's no filter, man. I love it, man. I love that show. But yeah, I'll send you the clip.
Okay.
It's viral. It's on like Clutch Sports is like show. They're the ones that kind of came up with the clip, I believe. But that thing is hilarious. Cause then you're like, oh, I see it. I see why. Anyway, man, we'll talk about the rest of the NBA Summer League after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Say.
For ages. Get it. Deuces on Empire Media, empiremedia.com.
Segue making moves, bitch.
Hey, you listened to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole and Will. Ray Jeezy's out, and we are part of Empire Media. That's AmpireMedia.com. All right, we finished talking about the Wizards rookie Coulibaly's summer league play last segment, which we know was a rookie. Coulibaly's a rookie. Which rookie has looked the best to you, Will, during summer league?
Of course, Brandon.
If it's not Wimby.
Okay. Of course, Brandon Miller. He's been pretty consistent.
You like his play?
His play in Utah, you know, was
the Utah wasn't great. Yeah.
Wasn't that great, but as he's gotten in Vegas, he's become a little bit more consistent. But here's a name that a lot of people probably haven't been paying attention to, and I've just been paying attention to him because I know he was once the number one ranked player in his high school class. Imani Bates.
I saw his game from
the Cleveland Cavaliers, second round pick.
Second game was like that.
Yeah, he went to Memphis for 1 year. That he didn't play really well. Then he transferred to Eastern Michigan.
I didn't like that he transferred, though.
But that he's an interesting prospect from the perspective of he's 6'9", can shoot from anywhere, has handle. Very lengthy.
I agree. I like him.
Has a good offensive game to be, you know, if you look at him play in high school, you thought that his offensive game would easily transition to college and to the NBA.
I thought he great in Memphis with Penny. I thought he would be amazing.
Yeah, I thought he did
too. He had injuries too, though, that kind of screwed him. But
yeah, he had the injuries that screwed him up. Uh-huh. But Imani Bates is one. And two, what's his name? George.
Oh yeah, Ray loves him. From Baylor.
Yeah, went to Baylor, drafted by the Utah Jazz. He's looked phenomenal.
Utah did a good draft. Had a great draft. You know?
Yeah, Danny Ainge is helping to build that thing up.
He's killing that thing
over in Utah. So those are two guys that I've really been paying attention to.
Like Scoot Henderson, before he got hurt. He was good. He looked real good. I like the Thompson twins, dog. I do. I do like the Thompson twins. They do look good. I like – Scoot Henderson is like – you know, he's a strong, strong point guard. He got hurt, so he couldn't play all summer league. But he looked good. He definitely looked the part. Won't hold you. What I like about the Thompson twins is not – they're multifaceted. Like – they got basketball IQ. Like, it's not about
they can contribute to the game
anything.
In multiple
so
ways.
We're talking about a guy who can play off the bump, like Bilal. You're like, oh, Bilal can't. These two can play off the bump. Like, and what's so cool about them to me is that they would be good for a winning team. Like some rookies, you'll be like, you just here to get your numbers.
You get your numbers.
It's all about the development. They can slide into a winning team and be good. Like they would, and you would win games. They're winners. The way they play ball is winning basketball. Both of them. Like, because summer league, you know what summer league's usually about. Like, it ain't hard.
These dudes guys are chucking shots. You got
trying
guys
to get shots
who,
up.
Yeah, guys who may not have a name. Yeah. They're trying to get their shots up. And they're not contributing to the game and helping to win in other ways.
Yeah. Oh, these dudes, they about winning. Like, straight, they fry. Trying to think of another rookie that I've been impressed with. I suppose about it. I think trying to think of another rookie. I like Imani Bates. I like Imani Bates though.
Guy who I actually wanted the Wizards to draft, Anthony Black. Anthony Black
has he looked good? I haven't watched him yet.
So
I've been trying
from the perspective of he's been doing a lot to contribute to winning on the offensive and defensive end with his defensive play.
Okay.
You still see his jumper definitely needs some work.
Okay.
But Anthony Black is definitely a guy that
I like Anthony Black. I liked him in college, so it's not like the Wizards couldn't get him.
Yeah.
I thought he got drafted a little too early.
And I'm curious, is him
– I don't know what they're going to do.
Markelle Fultz,
I don't think he's
Jalen Suggs.
I don't think he's getting that much burn. I don't think Black – well, Black's not starting.
Yeah.
He's not starting. It's not – because I'm
– Cole Anthony.
Yeah, he's not starting. And then Cole Anthony – okay, so – we'll talk about that. So, look, on their squad, like even I was going to game cover, like, they like them dudes. They like all three of them dudes, now other than Black. So, it's not like one dude, they don't want to play him. They try to – they love Suggs. They just draft funny. They love Suggs. I thought Markelle was going to get replaced. they love Markel.
Yeah.
They to a point, like, I was like, yo, you got Suggs and Anthony. Like, you drafted these dudes. Like, they should get priority. Nah, they love Markel. You know what I'm saying? So they love all three of them. They're all points. They're all point guards, bro. Like,
I mean,
Suggs
you could put Markel at the two.
Markel is a one.
Now. I mean, he's a one, but you could. He has the skill set, but he's that not you could play him.
Yeah, but he's not a shooter. They both ain't shooters. You know what I'm saying? You need a shooter, one of them. He's a one, you need a shooter. And Kel, all right, so Markel said it like, yo, I like to get my guys involved. His mindset is point guard. It is just a point. That's what he is. He's a point guard mindset. Right now, that's what he is. You need a shooter. So if you, okay, yeah, so, I mean, truth be told, let me take that back. Cole Anthony is a two. He's not a passer. He's a shooter. He's a scorer. Cole Anthony's a scorer. So in essence,
And this is not to say he plays like him, but his mindset is attack like Gilbert Arenas.
Yes. Not to say, yeah, exactly. That's what it is. Suggs is more of a tweener in both in that effect because he just plays the win. So Suggs just plays the win. Which they just, again, like the black thing confused me a lot. I'm like, you really don't need him. I'm like, you really don't. And I get why you want him because he's tenacious. He's a super talented kid. The only reason that you get him is if you're going to move one of the three. But you didn't do it yet.
And that's what I thought. I thought if once they drafted Anthony Black, I thought that the guy that they would move would most likely be Cole Anthony.
Yeah, me too. I thought so too. Because Suggs came last year, right? Yeah,
Suggs was last year.
So, yeah, Cole Anthony be the one because he's still got years that you can get rid of it right now.
Yeah, and then
I agree.
You know he's going to be eligible for
and
a rookie.
And somebody's going to want to pay him that money.
Extension.
I totally agree. That would have been my move. I don't argue that, but they're just a funny, you know, funny ass team. Sorry, they're a funny ass team.
I mean, they have a lot of young talent.
Bro, they got so much talent.
I don't know if it's because you didn't want to pay him. I didn't know if he didn't want to work hard.
We can't. So everybody says the work hard thing. It's not even you want to pay him because you didn't play him and his value ain't nothing. So it's not like y'all diminish his value. So it's not like he's gonna be costly. I don't get it either. Like the Bobo thing bothers me. I ain't gonna hold you. It bothers me because I feel like you're a smart basketball dude. I feel like I'm a smart basketball dude. Ray's a smart basketball dude. This is my only problem with in the NBA. I feel like they overthink things. Dude is super talented. Shaq said it. Shaq's a freaking Hall of Famer. He's a fucking Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. He said that, yo, I've seen this kid play the circuit. That kid is special. Shaq has said this shit. So, like, he said, I'll play with my son. Something like that. Like, and this dude is the one. He's it. Y'all like Wimby. I think Wimby's gonna be good. I think Wimby's gonna be good. I saw his game. I was like, I gotta see this shit for myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not gonna be on y'all hype. After the first game, people were dogging him. I was like, I see it. He's just like every young kid. They're nervous and they're forcing stuff. It's summer league. I gotta force shit up.
Right.
Second game was in his bag. He was in his element. And I was like, because you could see the fluidity yeah. Thank you, of his game. You could see it. So I was like, I can see it. Like, I can tell he's good. The second game, I was like, all right, this is what it is. Like, this is what I thought. His shots didn't go in. He was getting to a spot. He's good. He's comfortable. But why isn't that? All right, so my thing is that what makes Wimby that much different from Bobo?
See, yeah, and that's the question I have. All right, Denver, Detroit, Boston, now Orlando.
Like,
right?
What's the
and
thing?
And you and – anyone that I know, a lot of people didn't watch Orlando play basketball.
I watched, but I
like the Orlando team. They got a lot of young players.
And Bobo, and he got burned.
And when you see when he had the opportunity to play,
he put up numbers.
But I don't know if it's from a defensive standpoint. And it looked like at times from a defensive standpoint, he was out of place.
Yes.
And he was kind of lumbering.
Yeah, he did. He lumbered at times. I will say this, I do think that Wimby's more fluent in motion than Bobo. He is, but not by that much. But he is more fluent than him. Wimby has like he looks like a guard when he has the ball.
Yes,
he looks like a guard. Bobo's like you see he got Pat though. I think Bobo Pat's better, but it's not as fluent. If that makes any sense, I think his Pat is better, but it's not as fluent. But even that though, I still think that Bobo is just as good as like could be like. Like I think Holmgren's
awesome.
Holmgren's
a dog. Think about it. Just think about this for a second.
Yeah.
You could potentially have Holmgren 7'2".
Yeah.
Wembanyama 7'4".
Yeah.
and Bobo, what is 7'2", 7'3"?
Yeah.
These three guys are freaks of nature.
That's why, man, I'm telling you, me and my boy, Justin, who'll be on the show from Above the Rim, mm-hmm. he was like, but I think Bobo's rumored to go to
Phoenix.
Yeah, there you go.
Terrible place for him.
Did they sign him already?
That's what his rumor. I don't know. I don't know if he's been officially signed there.
Not.
Yes.
My bubble just said it'd be perfect if he just teamed Wimby with Bobo in San Antonio. Pop. He said anybody can coach up, can find a way to be successful. Be Pop.
Yeah.
I was like, today's positionless basketball it makes sense. Two guys who can handle the ball. Two bigs who can handle the ball.
Yeah. It would make sense. Defensively, I would like to see how that will work with both of them on the floor.
No, I agree with you.
If you're him, Bobo, mm-hmm. and you're looking at opportunities, yes, Phoenix may be an attractive opportunity because there's, three guys who you believe can help take that team to a championship. Yeah. But you should go play with a team or an organization that will A, develop you, and B, has a veteran who can help you adjust. And if it's true that it's his practice habits or whatever, can help with those habits.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like, I don't know, I'm just not into like this BS with the whole, I'm not into it. Like, I feel like they doing the most with the whole, with Bobo. He should get an opportunity. All right, so for you, like, bro, like, which rookie has been the most disappointing? All right, I just watched one. And it was really disappointing. And so I'm going to say Pauls when I say his name, though, too.
Huh?
I'm going to say Pauls when I say his name, though.
I think I know who you're talking about. most disappointing?
I'm going to say Pauls when I say his name. I mean, his name, though.
I'm trying to think.
You can't think, that's fine.
I can't really think off the top of my head.
Pause. Disclaimer. Yo, Grady Dick's been some shit, dog.
That's what I thought. That's what I knew.
Dog, he did some shit. And I've seen games prior, and I thought he'd be better than this, too.
You did?
Yeah, because I like his athleticism. I do like his athleticism. It's not because he's white and he's athletic. I like his athleticism. I literally like his athleticism. And he showed it.
He showed it
even in assembly. He's athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't have it, man. Just don't have it in terms of like what you need in that value pick. He was a lottery pick, right?
Yes.
There was better players than him. If you think about it, Kip Nova had slipped all the way in the draft.
Cam Whitmore.
Cam Whitmore better than him. Way better than him, bro. Like, I watched it. I was like, I watched enough in assembly to say, like, you ain't. I would argue and say maybe Bilal better than him. I can make that argument. That's how disappointing. Dude, you know somebody's scared of some league. If you're a shooter and you like airballing an open three set.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like right? That, like, maybe it's nerves. You give him an opportunity to get into training camp.
You nervous in some league. You better not.
Look.
Sharks in the water, bro, in the NBA.
I get it. But as you get more think about these guys really haven't had a lot of practice at all.
Yeah, I would agree with you, but like, what are we in summer league? Like, just like you said, the argument, we're in what game now? Because I thought like that.
I think this is like game four.
Four or five, yeah. Depending on, yeah. Like, that's how, like, Wimby, I feel like game one, two, one and two, yeah. Like, even Brandon Miller. He's nervous in his first couple games.
Yeah.
He's all right now.
Yeah, he's worked through
like,
those nerves.
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, now you're playing ball. That's all I'm saying. Now you're just playing ball. So that's my thing. So I ain't sure, man. Like, he disappointed me. I ain't gonna lie. Yo, Pauls, Dick is some shit. Pauls again. Reckless. Reckless. Yo, reckless, dog. Wild reckless, man. Wildin', bro. Wildin'. All right, Will, overall, which team or rookie in the summer league has caught your eye? Overall. They don't gotta be a rookie. It just could be anybody.
Oh, that's easy. Jabari Smith
Jr. Bruh, hell yeah, man.
Jabari Smith Jr.
Exciting, man.
I look at that Houston team, and you mentioned, Jalen Green's the guy who's asserted himself as being the scorer or the guy
He's the face. He's the young face.
But I don't even think he's the guy who they should be running that offense
to. I don't argue that.
What's the guy? Alperen Sengol, the Oh, the center from Turkey.
So yeah. You like him? Yeah, he passed the ball. He's good.
No, like if you he does a lot of things that you look for from a modern big with regards to initiating and running your offense.
Yeah, he's like a poor man without all the skill, but in terms of initiating offense, a poor man, a joker. I know exactly what you're talking about.
That's a guy who I thought the Wizards was going to draft, but they drafted.
Oh, was he a first rounder?
Yeah.
Oh, he was available. He was a first rounder. I thought he was I always thought he was like a gem. Mm-mm. He was a first rounder?
Yeah,
Senegun, right? Senegun.
Yeah, I think that Corey Kispert draft, that's the guy who I wanted to win.
Oh, they got Kispert instead of him?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, yeah. I like Corey, but dude's good. No, you're right. Dude is good. I know he was a first rounder.
Yeah.
I watched him play. I was like, oh, who is he? No, I watched him play. I was like, who is he? He's pretty good. Yeah. I like my man Justin. What's up, man? Above the Rim Podcast said Jabari Smith, Max Christie, dude from Miami's guy, dope. I forgot about him. Yeah, he would be. One.
Yeah, Orlando Robinson.
Rookie, Jack from UCLA. He went to UCLA. The rookie.
Oh, okay.
Jamie. Chet Holmgren, obviously, like that, he's been killing it.
Chet Holmgren and also the guy today, Cason Wallace, who they drafted out of Kentucky.
He's been good. Okay. Yep. Tumani Kamara, I don't know that. Nikola Jokvic. How you say it? From the Miami's from the
Miami.
It's like it's not Jokic. It's
Jovic.
Jovic. And Amani Bates. Bates. He said Wimby and Scoot can go without saying, obviously. I think his name was Merle too. From he played in Cleveland. He's on Cleveland. Merle, he was a white boy. Could shoot his ass off. He couldn't miss no threes. I think he had like 7-8 threes. He played the same game. Monty was getting off.
Okay.
Pause. but yeah, like nah. Dude was dope. I watched. I was like, God, who is this dude? I liked him. The player that caught my eye, I mean, I'm not going to like, it's obviously Jabari. Jabari is showing me, I'm getting low-key KD vibes with Jabari right now. Like, 35, I know some league 35, 30, the game-winning shot he hit, that was clutch.
Yeah.
Jabari is having.
I'm excited to see how it translates to.
In the regular season.
Regular season.
Me too. I mean, you got Thompson twin too. They too are stacked. And their situation's interesting.
I think they have the right coach, Ume Udoka.
I think they do.
To bring that whole team together.
I like what they did. I think you do have to go and bring vets in. I've always said that with young dudes, you got to bring guys who won.
Yep.
It's important. It's essential. It's just interesting to see how, you know, but who's being substituted out. You know what I'm saying? Because you got – you brought in.
I definitely think Kevin Porter Jr.
He's going to be on the – yeah, I know. I think Jalen's starting because that to me, he's the young guy.
They already traded KJ.
KJ
Martin.
So you got Van Vliet.
You got Van Vliet.
You got old light skin crazy boy. My guy. Dylan Brooks. Yeah, so it's like.
And then they signed Jeff Green, correct?
Yeah, that's a best player. That's a good one, though. That's a good one.
That's a good veteran.
That's a perfect. That's the perfect vet. Van Vliet's a perfect vet, too. I won't even hold you. Van Vliet's a perfect vet, too. Because I just think that he's a champion.
He's a champion. He competes even in practice. He's going to put. I'm not to say that those guys who've been there don't have a work ethic, but
they don't know how to win, man.
Yeah, but they have a veteran who's won a championship, who's worked his way up from being an undrafted player to a max player.
I totally agree.
And he's going to put in a sense of urgency in that work ethic.
Yeah, I think that was a perfect signing. But yeah, Jabari killing it. I think Jabari, he rocking it. I think he's going to be something. Not going to be, he is. Jabari right now is something special right now in the league. And I think Jabari can be an all-star. I really do. But people got to let him cook, though. They got to let him cook. All right, man. All right, as part of our HBCU Corner segment, we'll play our interview with reigning MEAC Women's Basketball MVP, Howard Guard, Destiny Howell. After the break, you're listening to the Urban Sports Day.
For ages.
Yeah,
deuces on Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com.
Got young one, chopping that thing, baby. Swiss beats, full surface. Come on. Underground downtown, I might just start some shit. Give me the key to the city.
and you can bet that. Hit him with a chest at, hit him with a neck at, show me where the rest at. They in the same building, living like a mess pack. 4 miles from where the deck at. Bet that, shout it. You and me gon' ride over to the other side. It's how these motherfuckers die. First make a prank call and get the kids out the house. Ain't trying to kill no kid, but I'ma turn it lights out. Money, then I'm kicking her out. I spit game to your wife, then we robbing your house. Now they gon' slow that day that we gripping the frame. If you got it and I want it, I ain't calling your name. Just lay it down, fuck boy, like I'm balling. See, just get your chest in your lap.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene on Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com. And it is now time for HBCU Corner. And our special guest is the reigning 2022-2023 MEAC Player of the Year. She is none other than Howard University star guard, Destiny Howe. Destiny, what's good? Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, appreciate having you on too. Definitely appreciate you for being on the show.
Trying to set this up for a minute, so it's cool. You know, I got to cover you all this season as well, so I got some insight. I feel like as to just what your thought process is going into this off season. But we want to start off just trying to have a little fun. You know, some softball questions. And you are from New York. For those who don't know, who are listening or who are watching this, what's that journey been like from New York to DC? And are you aware that New York and DC got a hoops rivalry thing going on?
So New York and D.C. aren't that much different. It was honestly easier for me to adapt into D.C. because of the similarities with me being in the city already. Mm-hmm. When I took my visit to Howard, you know, it felt like home. I verbaled on the visit, which many people don't know. Although I know about the hoops rivalry, I feel like you can't really compare, you know, New York.
I knew it was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I think New York Hoopers are better. I got to say that.
So how would you compare a New York Hooper to a DC Hooper?
I would just feel like New York Hoopers got their own swag. It's not necessarily like I could watch a basketball game and be like, oh yeah, they from New York. And I can't really say that about DC Hoopers. Not saying that they don't produce a lot of talent in the DC DMV area, because no, they definitely do. But that's just what I personally feel.
All right, so we got the. I'm gonna tell you, like, KD got the DMV swag in terms of this, his little pull up, his dribble hezzy pull up. I'm just saying that's our little thing. That's our thing. I'm just letting you know, dribble hezzy pull up. That's our thing. Just letting you know.
I want to ask you though. I just want to ask you. So, what's the difference between like the food in DC and New York? We hear New York has better food, better late night spots. What's your thoughts?
I would say definitely, you know, food in New York is better, but the accessibility, you know, I could go get food 2 a.m. I could go get food whenever I want. And I know that I have good options of getting food. D.C., you know, you got stuff closing at 8, 9. I'm like, dang, I can't even, you know, after practice, we get out sometimes 9:30, 10. So it ain't nothing to eat besides McDonald's. And, you know, that's not really what people want to eat after practice. So.
I know this is true though. This is true. Unless you go all the way to Adams Morgan. Unless you go to Adams Morgan though. They stay
like crime. The whole Chocolate City thing, we was good back then, but now, yeah, things have changed. I'm gonna say that much. But I get it though.
I got a question about the food. You've been to Cuts and Slices in Brooklyn?
You know what's crazy? I just went there yesterday.
It's bomb.
I got the I went there yesterday. They was closed, so we went somewhere else to go get oxtail pizza. But they got a lot of different choices, a lot of different slices. Yeah,
I went there for the first time. I was like, Jesus Christ, all types of toppings. Right, you gotta go, bro.
Yeah,
Yeah, I got to catch the train next time because I told you, man, I struggled driving last time I was in New York. Yeah, I had some issues. Let's put it that way. So I'm gonna head back though soon, no doubt, man. I love New York for real. Like I have no issues with New York. And New York is considered like the Mecca of basketball.
It
like,
is facts.
And you go to technically the Mecca of HBCUs. So I think that's kind of dope. You ever made that connection?
Yeah. When actually on my visit, they were telling me about like, you know, the history behind the Mecca just at Howard and how, you know, basketball in New York is considered the Mecca. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
So Destin, who's your favorite Hooper?
I would have to say in the NBA, Steph Curry, hands down. WNBA. Right now, it's kind of up in the air between Chelsea Gray and Enrique Gumbawale. I really like the both of their games.
She's Nigerian. Second was Nigerian. Just let you know. As Nigerian.
I know.
Yeah.
All right. See, I ain't even representing Steph as light skin. You already know we holding it down, man. Taylor Martin doing the same, but. We gonna ask you about the WNBA later. I got a question about that. But to get started, I've interviewed Coach Grace a number of times. She's been on this show as well, man. Coach Grace, that's my peoples. Whenever she talks about you, she always has a lot of great things to say, including the New York connection. But she also talked about the energy that you bring to the team, just with your scoring and playmaking. Does that go into your thought process when you approach the game? Like, I got to get my team energized. So I'm not just going out here to get buckets, but I want to make sure I'm getting everybody else involved.
So I feel like when I approach the game, I'm thinking about mainly controlling my energy because I know that's the only aspect of my game that I can control for sure every time that I go out on the floor. So scoring and playmaking, you know, that usually comes along with my game, but that's not what I'm thinking about when I approach the game. I tell myself that I can't control how many times a ball goes in the hoop, but anything other than that, I can control being a good teammate and the energy that I bring on the floor every time that I step.
If you had to describe your hoop skills to anybody who hasn't seen you play before, how would you describe it?
Three-level scorer, mainly a shooter. You gotta get out there on a three. Don't get out there, I'm a light y'all up.
Oh, I saw that in the tournament. I saw it in the championship game too. I saw how you was going. Yeah. You was on one.
Yeah, that championship game, that was your best game in the tournament, if you remember. I mean, you, especially in the first half, like you were just on fire. And then you made some big plays late.
Oh my God.
And during that game, I don't know if you were aware on social media, you were trending as a WNBA prospect. Is that a goal of yours? We just talked about that. Or what are your goals outside or after basketball at Howard, after graduation, post-collegiate career?
So my goal overall is to play professionally. That's definitely something that, you know, I've wanted to do since I was about 9 years old. Whether that's overseas or whether that's in the WNBA, only God has an answer to that. But I feel like I definitely have the capability of playing pro basketball, period. After I play professionally, I would like to coach college basketball. That's also been something that, you know, has been in my mind heavy as I started going into my high school career and especially as I got into college.
All my fan ball claiming that. Thank you in the WNBA. The game I saw, like, you got WNBA games. You got to claim it. It's going to happen.
I appreciate that.
You got to claim that for a real talk. So speaking of the championship game, in the aftermath, you were pretty much, you know, promised to lift your team to a championship this upcoming season. What is it going to take to get the team back to the NCAA tournament?
I personally think it's going to take a lot of resilience, consistency, and just getting better, and just hunger, period. I'm confident because, you know, I know that individually and as a team, we're going to do whatever it takes to not be in a position that we were in last year. You know, nobody likes feeling that disappointment. Nobody likes feeling that hurt. So I feel like we're going to take those losses and those lessons that we had all throughout last season and apply it to next season. I was able to get, you know, a glimpse of what that NCAA tournament experience was like. And, you know, I've been chasing that feeling ever since. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know in that last press conference, you all were emotional. You had just lost a tight game. But yeah, you made that promise. And I was wondering, like, man, she's confident. Like, I could promise you're going to be here next year. And we ain't going to have this feeling. So it's a combination of obviously the loss, but just you want to get back to that stage. You want to put your game on notice. I'm thinking that that's part of that, what goes into it. Like, you want to be seen on the national stage as well, right?
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely.
So Ray mentioned Coach Grace, Coach Ty Grace. She's one of the best coaches in the MEAC. What has she meant to you?
If you ask me, I think Coach Ty is the best coach in the MEAC. That's, you know, I'm biased.
She's
helped me grow into becoming the woman that I am today, not even just on the floor, but especially off the court. I feel like when I came in my freshman year, she saw a lot of potential in me and knew that I was capable of doing things that I didn't feel like that I was capable of doing. She pushes me to be great every day throughout practice, throughout games, just on the phone, everything. She gives me a lot of tough love and treats me as if I'm one of her own. And being at Howard has had me learn and observe different qualities that she has as a woman that I want to take with me into my everyday life. So she means a lot to me.
That's cool. Like, so y'all also have that New York connection too, right?
Of course.
I got you. I did.
So you got the coach from New York yourself. You just talked about New York Ballers, but yeah, I got this docuseries coming out, and I think it was you in like the preview clip that said people perceive us as soft. Like, how are y'all as a team? Like, what's up with that? How y'all looked at it soft, and what can you do to change that narrative?
So I feel like this year, not everybody knows the things that we were dealing with off the court. That's what the docuseries is going to, you know, help broadcast, everything that we were dealing with that wasn't necessarily broadcasted to the media. So a lot of people were saying that Howard was soft, me was this. We were losing a lot of people to injury, to just a whole bunch of things that were going on. So on the rebounding battle, we usually lost that battle. And that was something that we've been trying to work on throughout the season. And that has to do with, you know, being strong down there. So I could understand why people would say that, but they ain't gonna be saying that this year. I could tell you that. They ain't gonna be saying that this year.
Well, Lay, I told you about the Savage move. I don't know if you even paying attention, but that last regular season game, y'all raised the banner and were like, we defeated Norfolk. Y'all get ready to play Norfolk, and their bench went off. And I was like, dang, like that ain't no soft move. Like, I was wondering, like, were y'all part of that? Because I asked Derek, like, no, I ain't nothing to do with that. But I was like, hold up, that's not a soft move. And I just like y'all team. I mean, I might be biased because I got a chance to cover you all, but like Asia, Brooklyn, like y'all go hard for real.
Yeah, it's funny because I was actually wondering all season. I'm like, man, like when we gonna try off the banner? Like, I know we've had it for some time now. It's been the works, but we were totally out the loop when that was gonna happen. So.
Oh,
yeah, they
okay.
made the announcement. They dropped it, so everybody's, you know, looking down at the bench, like, what their reaction? You know, they was talking as they should, you know, mm-hmm. probably felt a little disrespected because they announced that you know, Howard University has defeated Norfolk State, and yes. Like they kind of gave the whole rundown behind the meaning of the banner, just all of that. So it kind of created some extra tension, extra emotion during the game, and we ended up getting a dub. So. It was pretty cool.
What do you have any you know goals or you know incentive? You know, you were MEAC Player of the Year. Do you think you can do that again? Is that a goal of yours?
I think that I could definitely do that again. During last season, I realized that it was more of a not necessarily a goal, but something that I kind of wanted to accomplish. I was just focused on getting another championship, which you know that didn't happen. But I definitely think that I have the capability of you know, repeating and doing that again.
Dope. So, Dusty, this is like one of our last questions, but, you know, we asked this question to most of our guests, especially our athletes. What does attending an HBCU mean to you?
To be honest, it means the world to me. I'm getting an experience that people just don't get at other places, at PWIs. Me being at the Mecca, me being at Howard, I'm already getting experience that is limited to very, very few people. The applications that have been going into Howard, especially after Kamala was vice president, it jumped. Tuition jumped, everything, mm-hmm. everything jumped. Everybody was trying to hop on the Howard bandwagon. And yes. you know, me being able to be a part of that and have a big role in, you know, creating history at Howard, leaving my legacy at Howard, it means a lot to me. Being surrounded by the next Black lawyers, Black engineers, business owners, fashion designers, Black excellence overall. I'm
WNBA
glad to
player.
Be a part of that.
WNBA player,
yes.
too. All right, cool. All right. Making sure you say that, too. Hey, this is awesome. Dusty, we appreciate you being on. Is there anything you would like to add before we let you go?
Definitely. Once again, I feel like going into the season, we're the underdog. And one thing I've learned about being the underdog is that you never see them coming. And that's all I got to say.
I love it. A lot of swag. I love it.
All right. We'll catch you during the season. Appreciate you again for coming on with us.
Thank you for having me again.
Thanks, Destiny.
All right. No problem.